It's 4:06. You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. Coming up later, don't be too quick to reach for that sweater and turn up your thermostat this winter. There may be some health benefits to being a little chilly.
First, a new report released from the Children's Advocacy Institute finds that the United States government is falling significantly short in its attempts to keep the nation's youngest residents safe.
According to the latest data, nearly 680,000 children were victims of abuse and neglect in 2013, and an estimated 1,500 children died. But those numbers could actually be higher. The group says that the federal government is failing to properly enact, monitor, and enforce federal child welfare laws, and it's hurting states' ability to get the job done.
Amy Harfeld joins us now. She's the National Policy Director and Senior Staff Attorney at the Children's Advocacy Institute. Amy, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Let's start off with the scope of the problem. We gave some national numbers in the setup there, but is this a problem that's kind of hard to quantify in some ways?
It is, as in most problems that happen primarily within the family, and especially to children who are less likely to report it out of fear. Child abuse is grossly undermeasured, and so the number that you just quoted in terms of the total number of confirmed cases of abuse and neglect in the country, about 180,000, we believe is about a third of the actual number.
And do we have an idea of the scope here in Wisconsin in particular?
You know, I don't have specific Wisconsin data pulled up for the total numbers. I'm sorry.
Oh, that's okay. So looking at the impact of this, what is the cost, before we get into what your report says about how the government is falling down on this, what are the societal costs of all this abuse and neglect?
They are enormous. If you put together all of child welfare spending across the nation, it comes to about $9 billion. But numbers released recently from Prevent Child Abuse America, which is based in Chicago, estimate that 1 year's direct and indirect cost of child abuse and neglect is over $80 billion. So what happens is we underspend on this population in terms of prevention and services for kids who have already been victimized. And we don't serve them well while they're in care, and we don't serve them well when they leave care. And what we see is we pay down the road. So we pay approximately 10 times. What we spend on this population down the road in mental health costs, medical costs, second generations of abuse and neglect in the system, incarceration, homelessness, drug use, and, of course, lost income from a population that's grossly underemployed and often unemployed.
So in this new report, you are highly critical of all three branches of the federal government, executive, legislative, and judicial, in effect, being derelict in their duties to protect America's most vulnerable children. Is this just, you know, fine points of bureaucracy here, or are there things happening that are failing, that are leading to more abuse and neglect for American children?
This report really tries to outline a system that's broken from soup to nuts. I am one of a handful of folks here in Washington, D.C. that serve as lobbyists and advocates for children who have been abused and neglected and who live in foster care. And, of course, my community spends about $1 million a year on these, combined on these lobbying efforts. And, of course, you take another community such as AARP spends about $25 million a year, and that's just an example of how little we can do with the funds that we have. And, of course, abused and neglected kids don't vote and don't pay taxes and have very little political power. So when we really started to connect the dots between what's happening in terms of their being underserviced by all three branches, we really felt that there was a story to tell and to hold different branches of government accountable in terms of reminding them of their responsibilities and roles and pointing out where they've fallen short and where there are opportunities to improve.
Well, as I read,
we started with Congress, and we really did a review of what are the federal child welfare laws that are out there, to what extent are they adequate and appropriate and coordinated, and to what extent are they appropriately funded to actually carry out their mandate.
So are they underfunded, these efforts by Congress?
Yeah, as you can probably imagine, most services, federally funded services to children, are grossly underfunded. And, you know, a big part of this then is results from the fact that we don't invest in the front end of these services and safety nets to protect kids from abuse and neglect in the first place, and to actually make sure that they're taken care of while they're in foster care, and, of course, to make sure that if they leave foster care without being adopted into permanent families, that they're adequately prepared for life on their own. So, yes, services across the board from prevention to aging out are grossly underfunded, and I don't see a lot of hope for them to be adequately funded in the future. We just saw the president's budget come out on Monday, and he has proposed an ambitious and laudable increase for funding in this arena. But given that the Republicans have primarily announced this budget dead on arrival, I don't have a great expectation that most of these provisions will be enacted.
Well, as I read the report, Amy, it seems like there are some what you see as good laws in place, passed by Congress, signed by the president, that call on states to do things, to keep tabs on things like foster care that aren't being done in all states. And you say that people like the Department of Health and Human Services are falling down on the job and keeping the states on track.
That's right. And it's rather alarming. You know, I think back to my days growing up listening to Schoolhouse Rock and understanding how our government was supposed to work. And the whole system of checks and balances here seems to have fallen apart completely. So just as a small example, in 2010, when the Child Abuse Prevention and Treatment Act was reenacted, Congress issued a letter to the Department of Health and Human Services demanding that they issue regulations to make sure that when children are actually killed as a result of abuse and neglect, which is obviously the worst possible outcome, that we at least gather accurate data to make sure we know what happened and where their real systemic flaws lie. HHS, in spite of very passionate advocacy by myself and others and reminders from Congress, simply refused to enact those legislations and refuse to hold states accountable for following what's already in federal law.
So what kind of problems do we maybe keep missing because we don't have that, I guess, kind of transparency out there?
Right. So we can point to the example of fatalities for in the meantime, because obviously that's where things go wrong the worst. So when we don't have good information on what happens when children suffer near fatalities or fatalities when they're killed by their parents, we really miss an opportunity to learn the most important lessons about how we can do better and how we can implement meaningful reform. I mean, I'm sure all of your listeners are aware of the stories that hit the headlines of horrible tragedies that befall a particular young person. I'm sure they've happened no less often in Wisconsin than in other states. And there is sometimes haphazard, knee-jerk reform that happens as a result of terrible headlines that hit the news. But that's not really a smart way to approach reform to such a big problem. We need to really rely on data and find the deepest cracks to implement meaningful reform. So we hope that HHS really takes seriously its role in overseeing states that are taking federal money from the government to do child welfare services and to hold them accountable for that federal money. You know, no less is expected of other federal agencies.
Now, we've touched on Congress. We've touched on the executive branch. You also say that the judicial system could be doing more to make these things happen, ultimately to prevent abuse and neglect of children.
That's right. So we also try to tie in the courts, because what's happened is in a majority of states in the U.S., including Wisconsin, because states have not enacted the law according to, have not followed their own laws, much less federal laws, states have been sued under class action litigation to better implement the laws that are on the books. Wisconsin had a case in 2002, Janine versus Doyle, which was brought by a number of civil rights groups in Wisconsin as well as children's rights groups. And were sued for constitutional violations, state constitutional and federal constitutional violations against this population. And these lawsuits are very costly and very difficult to bring and go on forever. Many of these suits started before I was even born, and I'm not that old yet. And are still under consent decrees being enforced and are not fully implemented. So when states fail to implement the law and when the federal government fails to enforce the law, these class action suits are made necessary to actually protect this group. It's their last avenue towards the to access justice. And what we've seen, which is very disturbing, is that federal courts are increasingly turning away these cases and not letting them even come to their attention. The courts are claiming abstention, which means that they think it's the state court's business and they don't want to get involved. Or they claim that there are some standing issues that bar access to the courts. So when Congress isn't enacting laws that are strong enough and adequately funded, and HHS isn't doing their job in enforcing the law, and the federal courts are starting to turn their backs to hear these cases, this group of our most vulnerable citizens in America is really left out in the cold.
Amy, we'll leave it there. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
That was Amy Harfeld. She's National Policy Director and Senior Staff Attorney at the Children's Advocacy Institute, which just released a report on the federal government, they say, falling down on the job in preventing child abuse and neglect.